Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's exciting. Right? You got presents to look forward to, possibly, and family get-togethers, right? Big holiday feasts, special music, if you like that sort of thing. It's a lot going on, a lot of excitement. But Christmas is really, it's one of those seasons that's great for taking pictures. All right, so you're going to want to make sure you have your phone charged up and your camera ready for that perfect picture of grandma holding baby, right? You're going to want to make sure you get that selfie of you with that Christmas present wrapped up under the tree. Or maybe you're going to want to make sure you get everybody, your whole family in the frame when you take that extended family photo. All right, it's a great time for pictures. So this morning, before we read our text, which is in Luke, we'll be looking at Luke chapter 1. But before we turn there, I want you to just think about for a second, what is it that you're looking forward to filling the frame with this Christmas? What are you looking forward to? What do you want to fill the frame with this Christmas? Think about that. And as we read, think about what Mary fills the frame with. All right, so turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, so third book of the New Testament. And we're going to be looking at chapter 1 and verses 46 through 55. All right, this is Mary's song, right? Remember, she's been, an angel has come to her and told her that she is going to give birth. She's going to be pregnant. She's a virgin, right? She's never had sex before, and she's going to have this child. And you know, if that happened to me, I would be scared out of my mind. I'd be confused, I'd be shocked, I'd be scared. But this is her response, this song. So let's look together at Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He's shown strength with his arm. He's scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He's filled the hungry with good things and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you communicate with us. And we ask this morning, as we anticipate this season, that we would remember, like Mary, to magnify you. Guide our thoughts, guide my words. Be here with us this morning, Holy Spirit. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Katie and I went to Rima Bible College. We're exploring Tulsa, and we heard that there is an awesome light display out at this campus. And so some of our friends come along with us, and we drive out to Broken Arrow, and man, we pull into the parking lot and we see in the distance this huge display, thousands and thousands and thousands of Christmas lights, little LED lights lighting up the night. And there were crowds of people. And you walk through the park and there's these pretty narrow lanes, and you're like crunched together. Everybody was there. And everybody had their phones out and they were snapping pictures, trying to get all those lights in the frame, trying to capture the moment. And our friends, they had their son along with them, and he's recently learned to walk and run, and so they put him down, and they were trying to get pictures of him, and he's fast, so they had to be quick, trying to get him in the frame. And you know, we had Mary with us, and I'm learning, even though she smiles a lot, it's really hard to capture that on camera. It's hard. There's a lot going on, and the thing is, it's pretty hard to get good pictures. So thankfully, you can edit them. Right? You can edit them right there on your phone, on your iPad, whatever you're taking the picture with. You can crop it, you know, so that it's the right size. You can zoom in on the subject that you want to focus in on. You can put a filter on it. It's pretty great. You can magnify the things that are important. So, before I go on, let me take a selfie with you. You ready? Here we go. Everybody smile. All right. See, there's my picture. Now, if I wanted to magnify myself, I could just zoom in like that. Or, you know, say if I wanted to magnify John, I could just go like that. So you can edit these things and crop them. You can choose what the focus is. Now, Mary, in her song this morning, she sets out to magnify the Lord, to blow him up, to make him big, to fill the whole frame with the Lord. She wants to make him the focus. She'll do whatever she can to edit out anything except for the Lord. That's what she says. That's how she starts. But you know, that's really what we're designed to do. That's what God created us for, to magnify him, to make his name great, right? To worship him. That's what he created us to do. And yet, it's kind of hard to do that. Even in a season like Christmas, where it's all about the birth of Jesus, it's pretty easy to forget that, to let that slip out of the frame. Now, maybe it's just the excitement of the holidays. I mean, for, you know, when I was a kid, I'd say, you know, most of what I thought about was the presents. Maybe for you adults, it's the stress of the holidays. I mean, come on, Christmas shopping with the crowds, the traffic. Man, if you have to travel, oh my gosh. And spending time with family is a lot of fun, but that can be stressful too. You get your extended family together. Does anybody know what I'm talking about, or is that just me? It's a stressful time. Yeah, amen. Amen. We got some people talking. Appreciate that. And it can be stressful, but it's also a time of year, you know, for those of us who have lost loved ones, it can be a time of grief as you remember those people and miss them. Or if you're separated from your family. So it can be a time of sadness. And I think it can also be a time of disappointment. I mean, we all look forward to the holidays. We put a lot of work into it, into making it awesome, and we pin a lot of hopes on it, a lot of anticipation. And then we get there, we get through, we get to New Year's, and it's back to work, and this feeling of disappointment. So you got all these things kind of competing to fill the frame over Christmas. But what does Mary do? She magnifies the Lord. She puts him in the center, in the focus. She zooms in on him. She magnifies his significance. And that's what we've got to do this season. But why? Right? Why, when there's so many things competing? Why should we do that? Her response is really, I really like it. It's pithy. It's to the point. She doesn't beat around the bush. There in verse 49, she says, "For," or "because, he who is mighty has done great things for me." Why magnify the Lord? Because he's done great things. He's done great things. This morning, I want to explore some of the great things that Mary talks about God doing. First of all, he's blessed his people. He's remembered his promises. And he's established a new world order. We magnify the Lord because he's done great things. Let's look first at how God has blessed his people. All right, so verse 46 through 49, notice as you look at the text there in Luke, all those personal pronouns. You know, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He who is mighty has done great things for me. All right, this is really personal for Mary. And you know, of course, you understand that, right? She's carrying the Lord Jesus Christ in her body. All right? So, I mean, this is personal for her. This is close. This hits close to home. So you'd expect her to be pretty overwhelmed and excited. But you notice she doesn't just stay there. In verse 50, she says, "His mercy is for those who fear him." His mercy is for those who fear him. So it's not just about her. She recognizes that this event actually affects generation to generation. It affects the future as well. Now, I don't know how much she saw in this moment, but the reality is this event affects us generations later. This was some 2,000 years ago. It's personal for us too. Now, you think about Mary carrying the Lord Jesus inside her body. Now, we have a privilege that's not quite the same, but similar. Paul tells us in Galatians, he says, I'm crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but Jesus Christ now lives in me. Brothers and sisters, those of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ have the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of this Son that Mary bore in us. Right? That's a blessing. And it's personal. It's close. It's close to home. Inside your heart, inside your mind, inside your life. The Spirit of Christ is there. God blesses Mary personally. And through her Son, God blesses you. And you. And me. So what? What does that mean this Christmas as things are competing for our attention, as things are competing to fill the frame? Well, I encourage you to remember, right? First of all, just remember the ways that God has blessed you through Jesus. Right? Remember the things that he's done in your life, the things that he's done through you, the things that he's done for you. All right, just like Mary's doing here. She's thinking about the ways that God has blessed her personally. And then, once you remember, go ahead and put it into words. Put it into words. I mean, she writes this song, this poem, this you know, hymn of praise. And, you know, maybe you're not a poet. That's okay. You don't have to be a poet. You don't have to be a musician. You don't have to be a great writer. But remember the things that God has blessed you with and put it into words somehow. Maybe you write it down. Maybe you share it with a friend. Maybe you share it with your huddle or your missional team. Share it, just like Mary does here. She puts it into words and she shares it. And when I was in seminary, it was a very discouraging season of my life. It was just hours and hours of studying. No end in sight. I couldn't really grasp how what I was studying would be helpful or would bless anybody. You know, it just felt like all these, you know, facts barraging my mind. And I would get so discouraged. And I would complain to Katie, and she would listen. And when I was kind of at my darkest points, wanting to just throw in the towel and give up, she would remind me of the ways that God blessed me. I mean, the personal ways. I mean, she's known me for a while, and so she could see the things that God had done in my life, and she would just remind me of those things. She'd bring names and faces, right, in front of my mind and remind me of the blessings that God had poured out on me. So whether it's grief or disappointment or busyness, stress, whatever you're facing in this Christmas season, put into words how God has blessed you, how he's blessed you particularly, you personally. That's what Mary's doing. She's magnifying the Lord because he's done great things. He's blessed his people, but he's also remembered his promises. And Mary sees that. If you look back at the text, verses 54, 55, particularly 55, she says, so he's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Now, what is she talking about there? Notice her train of thought. She's thinking about mercy to Abraham and to her fathers, right? Her forefathers. Now, it's an interesting thing. I think she's remembering the promises that God made to Abraham. You know, chapter 12 of Genesis, God calls Abraham and he promises him a land, right? He promises him a great family, a big family, a multitude, lots of offspring. And he promises him a great name. And there's a fourth thing. He promises through him to bless all the families of the earth. Right? So as the story goes along, you see Abraham's family growing. He's in the land that God promised him, but they eventually go down to Egypt. They keep growing and growing. They're enslaved by Pharaoh. And then in Exodus, God hears their cries, right? Because of his promise to Abraham. Because of his promise to Abraham. So he leads them out. He constitutes them as his nation of priests. And, you know, they're in the land that God promised him. They're big. Their name is great among the nations. And then he brings, they call out for a king. And so he brings David. God anoints David as the king. And he promises him that one of his descendants will always sit on the throne of Israel. Well, the kings that followed David were pretty rotten, right? They weren't just, they weren't good. And eventually God had to discipline them. But he sent Isaiah, who promised a king in the line of David, whose government would increase, his rule would increase, and his name would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This would be a king not like the ones who had failed, not like the ones who were rotten, but who was just and merciful. Now Mary, when she says God has remembered his promises, I don't know how much she understood, how much she saw into the future, but this child was the fulfillment, is the fulfillment of those promises. He was the one promised to Abraham that he would bless all the families of the earth. All the families of the earth. And he's the king that Isaiah promised, who'd be the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God doesn't forget his promises. Amen. He doesn't forget his promises, and he keeps them. Now, I don't know, have you ever had somebody that you love make a promise to you and then forget about it? That would hurt. That would be painful. God doesn't do that. He doesn't break his promises. He keeps them. He doesn't forget them. He remembers them. Now, I'm new to Oklahoma, as I was saying, so I'm brushing up on my Oklahoma history, and we've also been looking for kids' books for Mary. So we found this book on Oklahoma history, right? And it's, you know, got some pretty cool pictures, and you know, tells the story of Oklahoma. And when you're thinking about promises, think about this. The government, U.S. government, promised that the American Indians could have this land as long as the grass shall grow and the waters run. Right? It was a promise. But you know what happened. You know what happened. President Harrison opened it up for settlement, forgetting the promise, ignoring the promise, breaking the promise. God does not do that. He remembers his promises. Amen. He remembers them. And that's just what Mary is magnifying him for. And it's not just promises to her family. It's not just her family history that she's talking about here. The promises she's talking about are for us, right? We've been, Galatians 4 tells us, we've been adopted, right? When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. The promises she's talking about are our family history too, because we've been adopted into the family. God keeps his promises. So this season, in the midst of Christmas craziness, take a beat, take a minute, take a second. Remember God's faithful promise keeping, right? the things that he's done in the history of his people. Right, you're going to find that in here. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, this book is about God's faithful promise keeping. Remember it. Read it. I mean, there's different ways you can do this at Christmas. I mean, when I was a kid, we used to celebrate Advent, which means you get these four candles, one for the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, and a fifth candle for Christmas Day. And when we were kids, we'd get all excited about it, and we'd turn off all the lights in the house, every single light. There was no light on. Even if it was in the basement, we'd turn it off. And we'd light the candles, and we'd get our hot chocolate and our popcorn or whatever and cookies. And we'd sit around the candles, and we would, my dad would read these passages from the Old Testament, like this one from Isaiah. You know, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Or those passages that talk about, in Isaiah, that talk about him as a suffering servant, right? Crushed for our iniquity. And then we'd see how those promises get borne out in the New Testament with the Christmas story. There's all kinds of ways you can do it. I'm not saying you gotta light candles and stuff. I mean, it could be a fire hazard. But there are ways you can take a second over this holiday season, this week, and think about some of the promises that God's made for his people. Now, if you want a challenge, right, an extra special challenge, you can read a little church history. I've been listening to a podcast on church history, and it is incredible. As you hear about these heresies and these, like, just really, you know, persecutions where Christians are being, you know, torn from limb to limb and burned and eaten by wild animals. It is amazing how God has preserved his people, even now. He's built his church, and the gates of hell have not prevailed. He keeps his promises. He doesn't forget them. Magnify the Lord this season. He's done great things. He's blessed his people. He's remembered his promises. But I think he's also established a new world order. Now, what am I talking about? That sounds kind of crazy, a new world order. Look at verses 51 through 54. You can see these pairs of things that seem opposite, right? He's scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He's filled the hungry with good things, and he sent the rich away empty. So you'd expect the rich would have plenty to eat, right? But they're getting sent away empty. And the hungry, you'd expect them to be hungry, but they're getting their fill. The rulers are being brought low, and the humble are being exalted, being raised up. It's kind of like this, it's not what you'd expect, right? It's sort of like a reverse. You know, it's upside down, it's inside out. And I think Mary, you know, as she's thinking about the magnitude of what she's been tasked to do, right? To carry and to nurture the Son of God. I think she's pretty overwhelmed. She's like, man, who am I? I'm just a young woman. I didn't even know if she was, you know, she's probably in her teens. And she lived in like this borderlands, no-name place up in Galilee. I mean, she was not significant. And here, God is raising her up. And you know, this is a theme throughout Luke, throughout the Gospel of Luke, this reversal. You know, things that you'd expect, the order of things that you'd expect is turned on its head. And as you think about this event in history, I mean, think about it. The creator becomes the creature. Right? The master of all becomes this suffering servant. The help of Israel, that's what the Old Testament calls God, becomes a helpless baby. This child that Mary is carrying will turn the bruised and broken world that we live in upside down. He's going to reverse the curse of Genesis 3. He's going to crush the serpent's head. And he'll usher in a kingdom where everything in this world will be done as it's done in heaven. Jesus is establishing a new world order. Now, at this time, Caesar was the king. Caesar was the world order. And Rome's military might was extensive. I mean, they were like technologically advanced. They were the superpower. And they kept everybody under their thumb. Very efficiently, I might add. In fact, it's even Caesar Augustus who's the one who makes Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem later on in chapter 2. He controls everything. Rome was the power. But here's the thing. There's no more Caesar. Rome has fallen. Caesar Augustus died. His successor died. Rome fell. But Jesus, the King of Kings, is alive. And he is reigning. And his new order has been established. And the church is growing. So what? What does that mean for us? How do we magnify the Lord in response to this kind of a great thing that Jesus is doing? Well, I would suggest that we can actually live out some of these reversals that we see in the text. We can live out this new world order. All right, if God became man, right? God became man to raise up the meek. Shouldn't we be willing to raise up the humble, to feed the hungry, to help those of God's family who need help? I mean, this is just living out the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the poor, the hungry, those who weep, the meek, the humble, the sufferers, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. We can live that stuff out as we magnify, make big, zoom in, fill the frame with God. He's blessed his people. He's remembered his promises and he's established a new world order. He's done great things through the birth of his son, Jesus. So there's really only one response, and it's Mary's, to magnify him, to fill the frame with the Lord. To zoom in, to make him the center. If you got to crop out other things, do it. Right? If you got to edit that picture, do it. Put a filter on it. Whatever you got to do, let your words, your thoughts, your actions ring with the thesis from Mary's song. My soul, this season, my soul magnifies the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus, who changed everything, who turned the world on its head, who fulfilled your promises to Abraham, who blessed us by bringing us into your family and offering us forgiveness for our sins. God, we thank you, and we pray that this season, as we grasp just how awesome, how big that is, that we would make much of you. That you'd show us how to take time to remember the things that you have done in our lives. How to take a minute to remember how you've kept your promises. Show us how to live out the Beatitudes, this reversal that we see. Show us how to be like Jesus. God, we love you. And we lift up this week. We lift up all of the things that weigh us down over Christmas, whether it's stress or anticipation or disappointment or grief, we lift them up, we lay them at your feet and ask that we would magnify you in everything that we do and say. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.